venerable religious, dear parishioners, something really hit close to home this past week. And I'm sure you were affected as I was to know that right here in North Spokane, a veteran man of World War II was so severely beaten that he died from his injuries. Right here in North Spokane, over where the Fred Meyer used to be, right in that area, absolutely unprovoked, he was just there. And then it hit even closer to home when Brother Sebastian told me yesterday that he knew him, that he lived right down the hill from Mount St. Michael, right here in this cluster of homes within the half-mile radius here of the mount. And the tragedy is just is unbelievable. It's stunning. This man took a bullet for his country. In the Battle of Okinawa, he put his life on the line for the freedom of his country, for the freedom of its citizens. It was a war that had to be fought. He would have never dreamed that he would be assailed and killed by his own fellow Americans, the ones that he gave his life for their freedom. When I hear of tragedies like this, I can't help but think about the responsibility of parents to raise their children. I know next to nothing about the ones who perpetrated this crime, but I can say that they were not being raised properly by any stretch of the imagination. I am sure that their parents or the parents of these criminals were not bringing them to Saturday night confessions to make sure their children were being forgiven their sins. I'm certain that there was not a daily rosary being prayed. Because if those things are being done, if virtue is being taught, if safeguards are being taken, if parents accept the most serious responsibility they have of raising their children, crimes like this can't happen. It's a commentary also upon how fallen human nature is, that we are capable of the greatest deeds, greatest good deeds, by the grace of God, but human nature can also fall into the deepest pits. We live in a society that denies that human nature has fallen, doesn't want to accept the fact that even these most charming children, the day they're born, and you know how cute children are, but there's a fallen nature in them. They will need the grace of God, they'll need the sacraments, they'll need proper upbringing so that they can turn out well. How grave the responsibility of parents. They will have to answer to God for how their children turn out. It reminds me of something that I was told about ancient Greece, or at least in one of the cultures of ancient Greece, that when children committed a crime, their parents got the punishment. And that was premised on the idea that the parents are responsible for raising those children. And if the children are out committing crimes, obviously the parents failed in their raising of them. Now, obviously we can't deny that children have a free will as well. They have to choose correctly. But so much is on the parents. And yes, parents, when you stand before God, this is the seriousness of being parents. You will have to not only answer for yourself, but your family, your children. This week occurs a great saint whose mother did take responsibility, full responsibility for her son. Actually, I'm thinking of a couple of mothers. One's a canonized saint, the other one is very holy. Today's saint, St. Louis, King of France, had a very holy mother who told him that she would rather see him dead at her feet than to know that he had committed a mortal sin. That may sound a little harsh, but it's perfect logic. She made her son to understand, and I believe he kept his baptismal innocence his whole life. He never fell into mortal sin because his mother taught him how important it was to be in the grace of God always and provided, you know, the spiritual means. And he turned out to be a saint. He's a canonized saint, and he was a king. We don't know if she would ever have been canonized, but it's already been some 900 years, so likely not, but she was a holy woman. And then this Wednesday, we celebrate the feast day of one who was a bad boy, Augustine. And the difficulty was, and this illustrates the difficulty of mixed marriages when young people want to marry a non-Catholic. Well, Augustine's father was not Catholic. His mother was. And there was that conflict going on in the raising of the son Augustine. We can see why the church wants her children, her members, if they are called to the married state, to marry fellow Catholics. So there isn't the potential for conflict there in their faith values and their moral values. And Augustine really veered off the path. He became a bad boy, a bad young man. And his mother, of course, not being physically strong like the father was, couldn't discipline her son as he grew older and stronger, but she still took responsibility for him, so much so that she would wear herself out with prayers and sacrifices for some 30 years. And finally, the bad boy became a convert. He was baptized by Saint Ambrose. And she lived not too much longer after that. It wore out her life. But she fulfilled her purpose. She took responsibility. She knew she would have to answer to God for her son. She did all that she could, and she became a saint as a result of being the best mother she could be. You see, we have to remember our daily duty is our sanctification. That's how we become saints, to do our daily duty well. And you've heard me often talk about St. Augustine. I'm just so inspired by the story of a mother that didn't quit on her child and who became a saint. And then he not only becomes a convert, I mean, he becomes a monk. He's ordained to the priesthood. He's found to be such an outstanding priest that he's made a bishop. He's a great philosopher, a great theologian. He's a doctor of the church. His writings endure to this day, voluminous writings. I mean, many, many books. You wonder, how did he find the time to do this? He founded an order of monks. And also among his many, many wonderful teachings is he gave that first great explanation of the problem of evil. I mean, it was there. It's in Holy Scripture. But in a philosophical way, he gave us an explanation for evil. And he explained that there's two kinds of evil. There's physical evil and there's moral evil. Physical evil, that would be all of the phenomena of nature that end up hurting us. Hurricanes, earthquakes, bad weather, car crashes, people fall from heights, the law of gravity. And he explained that when God created the world, he did put those laws into effect. And being God, he knew all things. And yes, he knew all of the physical harm that would come about. Not that God was saying, I want to cause all that harm to people, but my creation needs to have its own laws for the greater good. And when we think about it, these physical laws do far more good than they do harm. But God foresaw it, and it's just the way things are. So he calls it, in the philosophical terms, God willed these physical evils per accidens. In other words, not directly, but just realizing that if there's going to be laws of physical laws, it's going to help many people, but it's also going to hurt some people. But how do you avoid it? You know, think about gravity. If the law of gravity wasn't present, we'd all be floating off the earth. We would all have to have a tether to hold us onto the earth, because if you'd float away into the upper stratosphere where there's not enough oxygen, you'd die up there. It'd be pretty funny, wouldn't it, to see everybody going around their daily lives anchoring themselves off wherever they went. But fortunately, the law of gravity makes that completely unnecessary. So instead of a bad God causing earthquakes, hurricanes, disasters, Augustine realized there is no such thing as a bad God. It's a contradiction in terms. It's an absurdity. There is actually a good God who, yes, allows these things to happen. And then he explained about moral evil, which God never wills in any way. Physical evil, per accidens, indirectly you might say God wills it. But moral evil, never in any way, shape, or form. And we see the price of sin when we look at the passion and death of our Lord. That's how bad sin is. That's how bad moral evil is. To inflict such sufferings, for Christ to have to pay such a price. So obviously God can in no way induce, want, direct, encourage anybody to commit any sin, even the tiniest sin. So it's really all on us as human beings. Every time we make a bad choice and we knowingly break a law of God or of the church, it's all on us. We chose to break that law. That's moral evil. And God knew that it would happen. I mean, imagine how many sins have been committed since the beginning of time. There's no calculator in the world big enough to list all of the sins that mankind would commit. Fortunately, there was an infinite God who paid an infinite price for all those sins. But here's another key part of St. Augustine's teachings that is so relevant, and that is that God brings good out of evil. As bad as the thing is that happened, God's power is such that He can somehow draw good. Now, sometimes it's not seen. For a long time. But when people cooperate with grace after a moral evil has happened, there is goodness that happens that otherwise wouldn't. Even the sin of Adam and Eve, which ruined everything for the human race, what is it called at the solemn chant on the Holy Saturday? Oh, happy fault. Now that's a real brain stretcher right there. How can we call the sin of Adam and Eve a happy fault? Look what Jesus suffered. But then the explanation is there. It's a happy fault that we got such a great Redeemer from it. You see, never will we justify sin. Never we will say it's okay. We must never minimize that sin is sin. But the goodness of God is greater than the evil of man. And that's why good is brought out of evil. So, one of many lessons from the life of St. Augustine, words that help us in our spiritual life, that help us in our intellectual growth. The world will be forever devoted or indebted, I should say, to St. Augustine. But we need to look at who stood behind him, that great woman that stood behind that great man, his mother, who took full responsibility for her child. Not realizing he had his own free will, but she would do everything she could to make sure that he turned out all right, even though for such a long time he veered off the path. Before closing, we must also remember the lesson of this 14th Sunday after Pentecost, divine providence. You might say it fits in with this whole idea of St. Augustine's consideration of the problem of evil. And do we not consider that in today's gospel where Jesus is telling us not to be too worried about the things of this life? And isn't our Lord saying people sometimes worry too much about physical evils that could happen? Might not have enough food, might not have enough shelter. Look at the bad things that happen, so we focus so much of our energy onto the physical provisioning of ourselves. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. Don't forget that God is in charge. And that He will provide, not in the way that we expect Him to or want Him to, but ultimately He will provide it. There's that great saying, good to say this in the morning, Lord, I know that there is nothing that can happen today that I can't handle with Your help. That's a trust in divine providence. That's the proper understanding of the relationship between good and bad things that may happen. With God's help, with our Blessed Mother's help, we can handle it. So on this 14th Sunday, let us listen to the exhortation, seek first the kingdom of God. Make sure your spiritual has the priority, and then God will provide as you work hard to provide for yourself physically. He will provide, but only if we have the right priority in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.